congregations in the more than 2,000 years since the words were first spoken. Many people have used these words as evidence of God's punishment through natural disasters and national tragedies. Many have claimed that they can interpret what's happening and why. That's ironic, perhaps, since Jesus, of course, himself warns us about that in this passage. He warns us to watch out for people like this, telling us, do not be led astray. The person who claims to have knowledge of the end times based on a passage like this is missing the point. They're missing the more deeper and more compelling argument that our Lord is making, a lesson that we need to hear and to heed. The people who would make such a prediction are forgetting about the context of the original listeners of the Gospel of Luke, the people for whom these words were written down. For those people, Jesus heard from a prediction. They had already seen the temple torn down stone by stone. They had witnessed the apostles persecuted and killed. They had seen Jerusalem set on fire. In that context, Jesus' words sound much less like fortune-telling and much more like comfort. The so-called predictions that Jesus makes are not incredibly original, not when you think about all the things happening in our own world, even in the last week. These are events that happen in every age, again and again. And by reminding us of this reality, Jesus speaks to reassure us. Bad things will always happen, even though the end might not be coming immediately, Jesus reminds us. There will be war and insurrection, Jesus says. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes. People will starve and fall ill. You will be harassed, Jesus says, and arrested and persecuted. You will be taunted and mocked by your own community. It's inevitable that some of your family and friends will even turn their backs on you. There will always be wars and natural disasters and national tragedies and personal trials, Jesus reminds us. These events were not
terrified. Do not be afraid. In the midst of
Today, we will see blessings for those who have turned 90 or older in our congregation. I know we have a few with us here today, as we did earlier this morning. And I'm sure that these folks in their 90 or older years have experienced tragedies and betrayals and the death of loved ones. They've made it through much to have made it this far. They might contend with the idea that not a hair from their head has perished. Maybe a few of them have seen a few hairs go. But I know they could also tell us a lot about the lasting power of the promises of God. Here, now, more than 90 years into life in this world, I can tell you that they know how to live as a people free. Because these folks in our congregation who are 90 years or older, they give of themselves to this church and to their families and their neighbors. They live as if they don't need to be afraid, and as if they have everything to give. Next week, we will celebrate Christ the King Sunday. We will celebrate the reign of God throughout ups and downs